All right, and welcome into the eighth round. The brand new name we have for the Mocking the Draft podcast, Big Blue Intervention, actually came up with the name through a Mocking the Draft poll. All three of his ideas were the best out of like the 50 or so we had submitted. So he will get the quote unquote prize. If you want to, Big Blue, just email me your address, and I will get that right out to you. But back to the matter at hand here, we do have a show to get on with tonight. Let's get the introductions out of the way. I'm Jason Mattson. I'll be kind of guiding us through the show tonight. And as always, we have John Dove. How you going, John?
Doing good.
All right. Josh DeCuster, what's up, Josh?
Doing well,
All
guys.
right. And Matthew Fairburn, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. Doing good. Well, just a quick rundown of what's going on tonight. We have a special guest, as always. We try to give our fans a new guest every week. We have a pretty special guest this week. He'll be helping us out with some quarterback scouting and what we're supposed to look for while we're watching a quarterback do his thing. Actually, the whole show is going to be dedicated to quarterbacks. We're going to talk about, like I said, what we're looking for. We're going to talk to a quarterback, and then we're going to give our best guesses to which quarterbacks are going to be first round picks and why we think that and how many. So, without further ado, let's get right into it. We have from Iowa State University, Austin Arnott. How's it going, Austin?
Good guys, doing real good. How about yourself?
Cannot complain at all. First off, we'd like to say thank you for stopping in tonight and joining us on the eighth round. Got to get used to calling it that. We
No problem. I appreciate it.
All right, all right. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, what you like to do off the field, any hobbies you have, anything really you want to talk about?
I'm pretty laid back guy. Definitely a big sports junkie.
Who are your favorite
Watching
teams?
Michigan State, Ohio. I like the Vikings in the NFL, and
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how I'm a New York sports fan, but I like the Yankees, and I like the Knicks in basketball. So I don't know how it came about, but I'm not a bandwagon fan. Everybody always tries to say you're a bandwagon fan
Hey,
with the Yankees.
when you're
I just
from
like Derek. I like Derek Jeter a
when
bunch.
you're from Iowa though,
Yeah,
you gotta
see,
latch
that's
on to
where one.
somebody, right?
Exactly. We don't have any, Iowa State and Iowa are the two
Exactly.
big programs that get the media attention, really.
All right, all right. Well, other than sports, do you like to do anything else off the field, or you got a big family you like to hang out with, or anything like that?
I got a family and friends is always crucial to me. They're there after every game, and my support system is very solid. And otherwise, I'm play some video games here and there. Big movie guy, so I enjoy going to a movie or renting one. Big Netflix guy. That's the thing. I'm on Netflix probably a couple 3 hours a day at night before I go to bed watching a movie.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Sounds like we could hang out. All right, man. Well, where are you training right now?
I'm actually just up in Ames at Iowa State. Our assistant strength coach, Clayton Oyster, who's formerly from Rice, who's now up here at Iowa State with us with Anthony McKnight, is working out me and a couple other guys from my team who are guys that stuck around just to cut down on costs and weren't sure on agents until within the last month or 2 months or so.
Right, all right. Well, I've kind of, I've been following you for a while. I'm a Big 12 guy. I'm a Mizzou fan, so you can hold that against me if you want to. But
No, I don't.
okay. Before your senior season at Iowa State, you were quoted as saying, "I'm more comfortable than ever. I've been watching tape and watching cutups and different QBs, seeing their craft and try to make it my own." You mind telling us who you're watching and what kind of changes or tweaks you made to your game based on what you saw?
Guys I watched that were very similar to our offense were guys like Chase Daniel and a Todd Reesing and a Blaine Gabbert, guys that are kind of in similar systems as me who have performed well in their system. So I watched those guys, and what I really did with my game, and I think I was better this year with making quicker decisions. And I
Sorry.
think that as far as it came with my mechanics, I shortened my throwing motion a little bit, and instead of having that wasted motion, like I'm sure you guys saw all that stuff they did with Tim Tebow last year with how he swung the ball so bad. I kind of had a little bit of that too, but it wasn't so bad. It wasn't a bad swing, but I'm just, you know, now trying to take it from the shoulder to the ear straight back and get a nice fluid motion. And, you know, I got more velocity and my accuracy really improved, I thought.
So is that kind of what you're working on right now, as well as, like,
Yeah, that's still the same thing. Yeah, it's still the same thing. It's like I'm trying to, you know, shorten up my motion as much as I can and get the ball out quicker and, you know, make all the throws that I need to be made with, you know. And I think that my arm strength gotten a lot better as things have progressed, even after, you know, this year in November when we were done.
So what part of your game do you think you need to work the most on?
I would say just, you know, feet in the pocket. That's a thing that I struggled with, you know, earlier in my career more than later, but just being calm in the pocket. And, you know, I always have a tendency, just because I'm kind of a dual threat and kind of a bigger quarterback, that I like to, you know, get out of the pocket quick and see what I can do down the field and throw on the run, because I like to think of myself as a pretty skilled passer on the run.
Oh, yeah.
Just because in high school we did a lot of bootleg stuff and a lot of, you know, counter naked and all that stuff. So I was kind of used to that. But, you know, in college I went through three different systems, so I really wasn't, you know, a one system guy in that sense of the word.
Yeah, I've never really had an opportunity to ask, like, how is that? How is that on a quarterback and pretty much any offensive player? How is it to go through three different systems in your career?
I would love to tell you guys it was all gravy, but it was not. It was a lot of transition and a lot of nitpicking with coaches and trying to get on the same wavelength as players. And, you know, it's tough when you have three systems in 5 years and, you know, you learn one and it's gone. You learn another, and you have two solid years I had with Chizik and Coach McFarland and that offensive staff, and then it was gone. And then Coach Herman brought in the spread, which was, you know, I'm not really the spread type of quarterback, but I kind of made it work for us. And we, you know, we were successful at times, but I think that, you know, I was probably more effective under center and doing play action stuff that I wasn't really able to do in the past couple of years. But, you know, we made it work, and, you know, when we were on, we were on. And, you know, and when we didn't play well, it was a cast of similar things with, you know, drop passes, misread on my part, up front. You know, we never were at our peak, I don't think, this year, as we were my junior year. We hit the peak a couple times in total games.
Definitely. I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I guess that could help, though. You know, if you know three different systems, that can't hurt you, I guess. But
yeah, that's gonna be my pitch. You know, just trying to, I can learn fast and you know, keep up and. Been there, done that, hopefully.
Well, speaking of been there, done that, you played in front of some very large crowds in your career, like Texas, Oklahoma, Iowa, just to name a few. What is it, or how hard is it to call play, audible, concentrate in those environments?
I think next to the SEC, the Big 12 has got to be one of, you know, the better stadiums, crowds in the country. You know, you play in places like Texas A&M and Nebraska. I think the hardest place I ever played was Nebraska. I played there twice. Actually played twice, and it was unbelievable. I mean, the place literally, I mean, when, you know, you know, the video game has the screen shaking. I mean, actually, you know, under my feet at Lincoln Memorial, it did shaking. And I'm out there, it was my freshman year, but I'm out there in the third quarter taking snaps, and I'm just like, it was kind of a surreal moment. It's like, well, the video game, like, this is what you really like, you know, because it's just shaking. But, and, you know, it's tough to get stuff done in the atmosphere, and that's when you think about, and, you know, those fans are so diehard, and Iowa's the same way. It's so hard to communicate on the field. That's why the only thing that, you know, what really helped us in the last 2 years of our spread offense is that we did a lot of hand signals, and that was, you know, people's vision aren't clouded that much as they're hearing it, and so that helped a lot. But, you know, I remember back in the day, you know, when I was a redshirt freshman and a sophomore trying to communicate by, you know, voice and having to run up and down the line, that's tough to do in big packed stadiums. You know, you got 90,000 people screaming at you. It's near impossible.
I can only imagine. What, you mentioned Nebraska a couple times. Would you say that's the loudest or the craziest you've been in, that the atmosphere?
I haven't been to all the top stadiums, and I mean, that's one of the things I aspire to do is, once I'm done playing football, is to get around and see college football at its finest and crowds and arenas and all that stuff. But, you know, Nebraska has got to be a top five place where it's the loudest. I mean, it's the third biggest city in Nebraska on Saturdays. So, I mean, that speaks for a lot. That's unbelievable. And they get that thing rocking. I remember I was getting recruited by Nebraska in high school, and I went to a junior day there for their spring game. They had like 65,000 spring game. It's just like, those people live. I mean, it's Nebraska football, and then Tom Osborne did. So it's a great with all that stuff, and it's just amazing how those people show out every game. They've had so many sellouts in a row, and it's just a wonder. You kind of sit back and marvel at a place like that.
Oh, without question, that would be awesome. I do want to go. I don't like Nebraska, and I didn't want them to leave the Big 12, but I still want to see a game up there. I've heard it's a pretty awesome experience, no doubt.
Yeah,
watching your career, I think you're one of the toughest quarterbacks I've ever watched. You've played through the pain. This year, you were hobbled in the Nebraska game, and you almost beat them.
Yeah.
You went on to play the next. What's that?
Yeah,
exactly. We'll get to that a little bit later. you almost beat Nebraska. Then you went on to play against Colorado, and you suffered a knee injury. How's your knee doing now?
It's doing good. It's been 11 weeks since surgery, actually today on Tuesday. So
you're not counting or anything,
doing well,
right?
And just trying to get back to...
You're not counting or anything, right?
you know I'm got a tally on my hand, but no, it's been good, and I've been trying to get full extension. I mean, I'm back to full extension. I'm sprinting in the water. Just haven't been able to really work out on land yet, but that'll be next week, and I think by, you know, time we have our pro day March 22nd. I've been taking drops and stuff, so I don't think that'll be an issue. I just don't know how well the running will go. It's just that, you know, I just want to be able to throw and be effective doing that.
Oh, definitely. Well, I wish you the best of luck with that. We kind of mentioned the Nebraska loss, and I already told you I'm a Mizzou fan. We kind of needed that 2-point conversion in that game. What happened on that play, and did you give the holder any tips on how to throw to a wide open target?
We had been working on it all week in practice, and I just said, you know what, man? Whatever you do, don't make it short. Throw it deep. Don't let anybody tip it in front of him. And sure enough, he jumps up and kind of does a little layup. It got batted down or intercepted, whatever happened. I don't remember watching it. I closed my eyes for the first time in my football career. Like, oh my goodness!
As soon as that play was over, I started drinking alcohol very heavily. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was pretty upset about that.
There was a few guys at Iowa State doing that too. You know.
definitely.
We were shocked, man. But you know, they were top 15 team in the country coming into our place, and we had them on the ropes, and we didn't, you know, take care of it, and didn't seize the opportunity at all.
Oh yeah, you guys were a pretty awesome team at home. Your defense always played well up there. There's something about Ames that I really don't know, but it's a crazy place up there.
It's a good environment.
Yes, it is. I'm a huge fan of your coach, Paul Rhodes. What can you tell us about your coach?
Yeah. He's a perfect player's coach. It's like even tonight, me and a couple teammates. Seniors from last year went out to eat with Coach Bob Elliott. He's our secondary coach last year, and he coached my dad at Iowa State back in the late 70s and early 80s. My dad played defensive back at Iowa State, so we went out to dinner with him tonight, and he was just saying that, you know, he's one of the better guys he's worked for, and if you don't like him as a player, then you don't got a pulse, because, I mean, the guy, Coach Rhodes, is just so fiery, so energetic for the program. He's from Ankeny, Iowa, which is 20 minutes south of here, and knows everybody in the area, and you know, the fans love him, and, you know, he loves him back, and he's going to give everything he has to this program, in which all the players see that, and, you know, when it comes to that, it's just in full response, and everyone's, you know, all bought into that.
Now, I've heard, and as soon as I heard this, I was like, yes, that fits him perfectly. Do you watch the show Friday Night Lights?
Oh, yeah.
Does he remind you at all of the Coach Eric Taylor on that show, the way he is? not so much in the looks, but just how he handles himself and his coaching ability and everything like that.
I'd say you're onto something there. Yeah, just the way he kind of handles himself, and you know, he's one of those coaches that'll, you know, he'll pick at you, but he's only doing it to get you better. He has nothing against you. And so he really in a sense is just, you know, a perfect player's coach, because, you know, he's been there, he's done it. He played college football, and he's been around some great programs. He was at Pitt with Dave Wansett for a while, and then he was at Auburn with Tommy Tuberville. So he's been around some great programs and some, you know, story programs. So he knows how to recruit, and you know, he's doing a lot better. The class he just got was, you know, a pretty phenomenal class for you know, a Big 12 school like Iowa State. So we're just gonna see if he can put it together next year.
Right. While at Iowa State, who was your toughest individual opponent? Like maybe a defensive back or a defensive linebacker?
I don't think Sue.
Who, Sue? I should have figured. No, I think everyone we've talked to on the offensive side of the ball from the Big 12 in the past few years has said Ndamukong Suh.
But I, would say a close second is Sean Witherspoon. He was a great player, and you know he was always bringing all he got to the game. And you know that guy was flying on the field. And I mean, one of the biggest defenders on the field, and he's probably the fastest. So I'd say he's a close second in my opinion.
Did he ever get in your ear and talk a little bit?
Oh, you know that.
All right.
I'll never forget. He was singing some song. He was just singing some song. It wasn't even a rap song. It was like some popular rock song. He was singing it all game. I was like, this guy's driving me nuts.
Nice. Well, to finish off your interview portion, we do something called Sell Yourself here, where you'd sell yourself to a general manager or coaching staff. Why don't you go ahead and if you know, pretend that the four of us were a coaching staff for an NFL team, what would you tell us?
I would just say, like I said earlier, I played in three systems under three different coordinators, and I think I can adjust the change pretty well and adapt and learn things pretty fastly as a learner. And as a quarterback, so in that aspect, I think it's just being able to, you know, and I have the ability and the drive to want to get better every day. And I've been around some good players and not so good players, so I think I could play with just about everybody. So I think that being in the Big 12 and being around some of the best players in the country, I've seen, you know, great defenders and great defenses that, you know, would get me ready to this point. I mean, I know it's going to be a lot different in the NFL, a lot faster still, but I think I've had an advantage playing in the Big 12. And you know, as a player, I think I'm a passer and a runner. I mean, 230 pounds, and carry my weight pretty well. Knee recovering fast, and just hoping to you know, be the best I can on an everyday basis.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you sold me. I'll take you. No doubt.
I appreciate it.
You know, if I ever get a team, I'll give you a call.
Hey, let me know, man. I'm
all right. All right. Well. Well, we'd love it if you'd stick around for a little bit and kind of talk quarterbacks with us, Austin, if you have time.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, all right. Well, like I mentioned in the intro, let's get Josh and Matthew back online here. We're gonna talk about what we look for while we're scouting a quarterback. What some pros and cons are of the position. John, you handle the quarterback position for. Mocking the draft. Why don't you take it from here?
All right. First off, I want to talk about. There's four key points out of many that I look at when I'm evaluating quarterbacks, and I'd have to say the first thing I take a look at and that I really evaluate is the accuracy and the ball placement. The NFL is so much about putting the ball in the right place to give your wide receiver and your target the opportunity to gain extra yardage. So for me, you know, that is a key thing, and that's something that ties in with concentration, with footwork, and just accuracy in general is a very important attribute to have. Next, I take a look at how quickly does the quarterback diagnose post snap information? Does he read a defense? Can he tell what that safety is going to do post snap? Is he able to identify his open target quickly? So when they're back in the pocket scanning the field, they need to be able to make quick decisions. So how quickly they diagnose that post-snap information is very important. Third, I take a look at arm strength, because if you cannot make all the throws in the NFL, you're going to struggle, and arm strength is obviously a very important attribute. And lastly, I look, are they coachable? Because we've seen guys come out of systems with poor technique, poor footwork, and if they're open to coaching, there's plenty of things that can be tweaked and changed in their game to fit the NFL.
All right, all right. Well, Josh, what do you have to say to that?
I definitely agree with all the points John made. I go slightly different. I like to look at the intangibles first, because I think without, you know, certain mental aspects, not just football IQ, but leadership, the coachability. If they don't have those, it doesn't matter how much talent they might have physically, they're probably not going to have a long career in the NFL. So I like to look at the intangibles first. Then I go with the skill set, you know, the arm, the ball placement. You know, are they an athlete or are they more of the in the pocket guy but still able to move around? Then I try to look at who they are kind of as a person, you know, off the field. Are they involved in their community? Do they, you know, have a police rap sheet, that kind of thing. And then I'm trying to determine their upside potential. You know, where are they going to be in 3 years? Because you're not just drafting a guy for him to necessarily start right away. You know, most of the draft picks are you draft them, you know, you coach them up, you develop their technique, and then hopefully they can become a starter. It would be nicer if they could do it right away, but that's not the case for most guys. And I also want to know, you know, are they maxed out? Have they completely matured? Can they get stronger in their arm? Can they, you know, what can really be refined, or, you know, what can I actually do to make them prepared to start in the NFL, or are they pretty much what they're going to be for the rest of their career?
All right. What do you have to add, Matthew?
Number one thing I'm looking at in a quarterback is a guy who can get it done at crunch time. And the NFL is all about getting it done when it matters most. And if a guy can't get it done then, I mean, what good is he to a team? Another thing I'm looking at is how a guy handles pressure in the pocket. A lot of that's footwork, and a lot of that's instincts, and a lot of that ties into the third thing I look for, which is what a little bit of Josh and John both mentioned, is the character and the mental aspect of the game. How much of a leader is a guy, and does he have the right attitude? We've seen guys like Jimmy Clausen come into the league with a little bit of a head case, and he hasn't translated so well just yet. And you look at a guy like Ryan Mallett, who some of those red flags are coming up, and it's looking like it's hurting his stock. So definitely the character is a big thing for me when I'm looking at a quarterback.
All right. So you all three have different, you know, attributes on the top of your list. Austin, what would be your number one thing you look for in a quarterback, or that you think that a quarterback should possess?
I'd say he's got to be a leader in every sense of the word. You know, guys aren't going to follow him. He's got to be the leader of the team. And that's one thing that I learned playing college football, is that a quarterback is the leader of the entire team. And, you know, that's kind of the pulse of good football teams, have great leaders. You look at the Tom Brady's, Peyton Manning's, those guys are leaders of their teams, and you know, they do it very well. And, they take the flak for a loss, and, you know, they're also glorified because of their position, because of, you know, win. But I think ultimately, all those characteristics are great, you know, with you know, being able to play in crunch time. But if you can't lead those guys in practice, you know, day one, you don't really have much.
All right. Well, so when we're talking about the quarterback position here, we can just jump right into the next segment. Or do you guys have anything else to add of what you look for inside of a quarterback?
No, I think we covered a lot of different areas where you need to look for a quarterback.
No question.
If anything, we've proven that there's never one thing you can really look at and determine, yep, he's going to be successful. It's, you really have to take a step back and look at the big picture, their entire career.
No question. That's kind of what I was going to end with, is just, you know, there's no real right answer to this question. You know, some people are looking for, or some teams are looking for one thing, and other teams are looking for the other. So it's just a matter of you know, who's in charge of your team and you know, how they select their players. So why don't we finish up the show here with a little first round quarterback action. Matthew, we'll start with you here. What quarterbacks do you have going in the first round? Where do you think they're going to end up, and possibly why do you have them there?
Right now I have Cam Newton, for starters, is definitely a first rounder. The physical talent's all there. And someone's going to fall in love with him at the combine. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he went as high as number one overall to Carolina, just because he has that kind of upside. Another guy that looks like a surefire first rounder is Blaine Gabbert. A little bit of a worry coming out of a spread offense, didn't have the best production, but I think he has solid accuracy, great arm strength. He's a big dude. After that, it gets a little dicey. There may not be another first rounder. Ryan Mallett, as I mentioned, has the character concerns. Jake Locker did not look sharp at the Senior Bowl. And a couple guys we could actually see sneak over those two is Kaepernick of Nevada and Christian Ponder of Florida State. Both those guys had great Senior Bowls, and I wouldn't be surprised to see someone take a shot on them at the end of round one.
Excellent. Well, what about you, Josh? Who do you have going in the first round?
Well, I Definitely agree that Cam Newton will go somewhere in the third round. I don't think he'll go number one overall. I think Buffalo might be the first chance he gets picked, but he could literally go anywhere from between 3 and 32. I think, you know, if he starts falling too far, someone's going to trade up and get him, kind of like Tebow last year, because there will be a team that falls in love with him and that he won't make it out of the first round. I also believe Gabbert will be a first rounder. He's another one who will be, I think, mostly on potential. I have questions of him coming out of this, not just the spread, but he had a lot of throws that were either behind the line of scrimmage or within the first 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
A lot of screens.
Didn't throw too many. Yeah, a lot of screens. And there's not too many offenses that run that kind of offense in the NFL, or teams that run that offense in the NFL. And there's not very many teams that run exclusive shotgun sets either. So it'll be kind of a getting him comfortable under center as well. I think because of the value of quarterbacks, and there's, I think right now, 8 teams that people say absolutely have to take a quarterback at some point, there'll be a good market out there for Mallett and Locker in the late first, whether it's a team trading back up in to get them or a team just waiting for them to fall right into their lap. I don't agree with Ponder might have a chance. I think he'll end up going high to mid-second, but I think Kaepernick is still much more of a project, and he probably won't go any earlier than late second, late to third.
Now, why do you think that about Kaepernick? What is it about him?
Well, I think he still needs a lot of work to get comfortable in the pocket. You know, watching the Senior Bowl, I saw he would make that first read, and then he would try to escape really quick out of the pocket. It didn't seem like he would sit back and try to go through progressions. It was kind of a get back up, I'm going to take off. And a lot of times he got caught by, you know, Von Miller when he tried to get to the outside. He really didn't break downfield, and it would have been nice for him to just kind of sit back and either throw the ball away if he felt too much pressure, or step up and still try to make a throw instead of just taking off running. So I think he's still a bit of a project as a pocket passer. It could be, you know, a team decides, hey, we're going to run more of this pistol that he ran in college, and so we want to get a really good look at him, and they'll take him early because there's more value for him in that case. But I don't see it happening just yet.
All right. John?
I'm also going to go with 4 quarterbacks in the first round. Josh mentioned 8 to 9 teams that could be looking at a potential quarterback early in this draft. I like Gabbert, Mallett, Newton, and Locker all to wind up first-round selections. Myself, I really have not seen anything substantial or concrete that make me believe that Mallett has concerns with his character. The games I've watched, his on-the-sideline demeanor has always been positive. He's engaged with his teammates and with his coaching staff. He doesn't get down, especially in the Sugar Bowl when they were down early. He fought back and almost led his team back to a comeback. So I still have Mallett in that first round range, and you know, every one of these quarterbacks have question marks and need time to develop, but that's not going to stop a team from making a selection here, especially teams that are very desperate like the Cardinals or maybe even the Titans, teams that have really no other quarterback options at this point.
All right, Austin, do you have anybody that you think that should be in the first round or that's not in the first round that should get some more love?
I kind of agree with everybody else. You know, I think the two for sure will be Newton and Gabbert, but there's no guys that are going to, you know, I mean, I say this just because of what I've seen against them, especially against Blaine. It's, you know, there's not going to be a for sure starter in that draft next year. You know, last year there was Sam Bradford, and they thought Coughlin was going to start, and it's just, there's not a for sure set in some, you know, guy that I think would be a starter in the NFL next year as a rookie. You know, as it gets later to the end of first round, you hear, you know, Mallett and Locker come up. I think those, like you said, those guys do have question marks, but you know, it just comes down to what teams need, like you said, and a lot of teams do need quarterbacks, and I think those two are for sure first round picks, and I think I could see Locker probably going to at the end of the first round.
Made a great point in that there really isn't a guaranteed starter out the gate quarterback in this class right now. I think there will be probably 2, maybe even 3 of them that are taken in the first round that will be rushed into that role.
Unfortunately,
it'll be interesting to see how they handle that, because I think, you know, the teams that are desperate for that quarterback, when they take that first round quarterback, they're gonna put him out there and not, I don't want to say throw him to the wolves necessarily. I'm sure they're going to put as much support behind him as possible, but it'll be interesting to see how they react to that.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Austin, before we get out of here, I want to ask you one quick question about the Big 12. Should they add a couple teams after losing Nebraska and Colorado? Should they add two or four teams to the mix?
I think they should, just to keep it competitive and, you know, keep that above, it actually is the Big 12, so it's not actually a team with a conference with the Big 12 name that has 10 teams in it. I mean, it really sucks that, next year they have to play, a 9-game conference schedule. Yeah. And, for Iowa State, that's tough because we'll have to play all the South teams, and that doesn't bode well for teams in the North who don't have as good a talent as those guys in the South. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think TCU going to the Big East, I think that was kind of questionable on their part. I mean, I think they'll still dominate the Big East, and that's the thing, probably what they thought too. So I think if they would have came to the Big 12, they'd add more competition. And I think a team that we could have used well is a team like Utah or something.
Definitely.
To, round us out and maybe, give us some more competition, because those are two good teams that are, usually good, really good in and out.
Pac-12 already swooped Utah up. It's too late.
I wouldn't mind like a BYU and a Boise State or something like that to add to the mix. But since
wouldn't complain.
All right. Well, that wraps the eighth round up for this week. A big thank you to Austin Arnott for spending the last 30 minutes or so with us. We really appreciate it. And you can stop by again sometime in the future and let us know how everything's going.
No problem. All right,
thank you so much. And very quickly, give a shout out to Josh and his YouTube page. It's Josh MTD if you want to look up, do any self-scouting. I hear John, I actually read, John, you made an appearance today on ESPN Radio?
Yeah, at ESPN Hawaii, we talked a little bit about the Cam Newton versus Blaine Gabbert debate. There was some talk about that. We looked at some under the radar type players, kind of just taking a look at some guys that might not be getting as much hype as they should right now.
All right. And Matthew, you have anything going on?
Just keep an eye out for team needs articles. We'll be coming out this week on mocking the draft. We're covering the NFC East this week, so keep an eye out.
Give us a sneak peek.
Well, I got the Giants on Friday, and they got to start protecting Eli Manning if they're going to get back to where they were.
There you go. All right. Well, that'll wrap up the eighth round this week, and stay tuned because next week we could have a very big guest joining us. Haven't locked anything down yet, but stay tuned for that. So we appreciate you stopping by. Thank you so much.